I want to jump right on into some stuff this evening. If you have your Bible, turn over to the book of Philippians, and I'll try not to keep you no longer than the Spirit of the Lord keeps us here. But this week and last week, I've kind of had this on my mind, and I was actually wondering which way to go with everything tonight. And again, this came back up in my heart again for me to do this evening. And I believe this with everything in my heart. So we've got some scripture that we want to share with you out of the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. We want to turn there this evening. I think we are going to be able to put some things on the screen for you tonight. Hannah's up there, I believe, and she'll be able to share some things with you tonight as well. Now, I want to look in the book of Philippians to begin with. But before I do that, I went back on this past Sunday, and I don't want to go back there to actually read all the scripture again and all the different places that we were at. But this past week, Sunday night primarily, some of you may not have been online Sunday night, but I made reference to a song that was written in 1719. That's been a few years ago. In 1719, Isaac Newton wrote the song, or penned the words, to a song that we sing, Isaac Watts, I'm sorry, that we actually sing every Christmas. And it was based out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 98. And I'm not going to turn back there and read that right now. You can do that in your own time. Actually, when you go back to read Psalm 98, you can go back to Psalm 94, 95, 96, 97, and 98. And there seems to be a great theme that runs all the way throughout those particular psalms. And those psalms were psalms of praise. They were psalms of praise, or songs of praise. And the reason that those psalms was written during those times was that they rejoiced in the God of their salvation. And in chapter 98 of Psalms, when Isaac Watts wrote this song, he wrote it around the theme of the joy of the Lord, about the joy that only God brings. And that's kind of what I want to talk about for the next few minutes this evening. And so in the book of Philippians, I know that this is an odd grouping of scripture to read with really what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. But yet I believe that it brings and encapsulates the whole thing. In Philippians chapter number 2, actually, I want to start reading there in verse number 6. And again, you can go back in Isaiah chapter 53 and read about this in the prophecy about the coming of Jesus. But yet Paul penned these words, and Paul wrote these words about Jesus and about the Son of God, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Watch verse number 10. That at the name, or in the name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me this evening. Father, I thank you, O God, this evening for the time that you've given us to come here tonight, O God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you for thy word is forever settled in heaven. And we believe tonight, O God, that you have orchestrated this service, and God, you have put this service in our heart this evening. Father, I love you, and I thank you, and I praise you, and I give you the glory and the honor for it. Father God, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Several scriptures come to my mind this evening. Several things come to my heart today about this particular grouping of scriptures and this particular group in scripture in the scripture in the Bible. First of all, I want to try to get us to thinking about this evening the time of year that we are in. This is known as the Christmas season. And again, we are moving into that, and I know that there are those that would say, well, Christmas is not going to be the same this year. I have to agree with you and say there are probably certain things that we are accustomed to doing that may not be as we are accustomed to doing them. But yet we understand here as well this evening that our joy, the joy of the Lord that becomes our strength, cannot necessarily be contingent upon particular events and particular things that we do or things we may not do during a particular time. Now, one of the things I wanted to mention was simply this. We see throughout the scripture that this whole theme of joy is mentioned throughout the Bible. Happiness is often contingent upon our environment. And we look at that in all of our lives this evening. Then when you begin to look at the definition of this, you begin to look at the definition of what happiness is. And a lot of times it's an emotion, if you will, that's basically contingent upon environment. It's contingent upon atmosphere. It's contingent upon the moment that you're in the event. And there was a definition for that, and I don't even know where I wrote it down. I don't even find it looking at it. But anyway, when you begin to look at joy, joy is a word that actually is defined in the Greek as a word that talks about the gladness of heart. If you and I base our joy, the times of joy, upon circumstances that we are living in, we're going to miss the whole purpose of Christmas. We're going to miss the whole purpose of Jesus coming to grant you and I this great salvation. In the book of Psalms, you can actually find some scripture there that you can actually read about this glorious Lord of ours. And in just one verse of scripture, basically there in Psalm chapter 3, verse number 8, it's a scripture that is a testimony scripture. It gives a testimony of the psalmist, where the psalmist actually gives a testimony of where his salvation comes from. And he says this in verse number 8, Psalm 3 and 8. And he says this: salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And he said, thy blessings is upon thy people. When we think about this great joy that you and I have, we understand that the whole entire gospel is wrapped up in the fact that Jesus Christ came to give his life a ransom for you and for me. The whole of the gospel is wrapped up with one theme and is found here in this psalm. Psalm chapter 3, verse number 8. The salvation belongeth to the Lord. That Jesus came, watch this, that Jesus came to a sin-filled world. Now, you and I, we have to stop and think about that for a minute, because you and I were born into this sin-filled world. We think about sinners today and people that are wrapped up in sin today. Well, do you know that the entire world is engulfed in sin? That sin actually don't surprise God the way I view it, because God knew that we had all sinned and we had all come short of the glory of God. In this, God allowed, you see this in our text in Philippians 2, he allowed Jesus to come and give his life a ransom. How many of you remember this? That Jesus didn't die for saints. Think about that. That Jesus came and died for sinners. He came and gave his life for sinners. Think about that. So you and I, we think about it's time for joy. We think about that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You think about that that salvation belongeth to the Lord. You and I this evening, we ought to be the most joyful people in all of the earth. Simply by reminiscing of the fact and knowing the fact that Jesus came and died for us. Jesus died, watch this, Jesus died and he came to a sin-filled world to rescue you and I. We were all on a lifeboat sinking in the world, or on a boat sinking in this world of sin. And there was no other way to escape eternal damnation, eternal condemnation. But Jesus Christ, my friend, according to the Bible, he threw you and I the lifeline this evening. And there is no other way for you and I to be saved and born again other than through the fact that Jesus came and Jesus gave his life a ransom for you and I. No matter what we go through, no matter the trial, no matter the storm, no matter the situation, you and I can have joy in the Lord tonight. Again, not happiness. You may not be happy with all the circumstances around you, but you can certainly be filled with the joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. In other words, where does your joy come from? Where does our strength come from? It's knowing the simple fact that Jesus Christ has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. In the Scripture, we see this in the book of Luke. Again, this is progressively looking forward into the Christmas story, into this time of the year and the incarnation where that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in the book of John. But here in the book of Luke, for just really, really quick this evening, when you look at this, and I love these verses of Scripture, and I read them every year because verse 14 really gets to me. And I'll get into verse 14 a little bit later. But when you look into Luke chapter number 10, verses 10 and 11, there's a couple of verses of Scripture there, and it talks about the angel of the Lord showing up on that Galilean hillside with his shepherds as they were keeping their watch over the flock by night. And then the angel of the Lord was there. The first thing the angel said was there in verse number 10. And I want to say this, that the joy of the Lord can conquer every fear that you have and I have this evening. Again, the joy of the Lord can conquer the fears of our life. When we have the joy of the Lord, it becomes our strength. Look in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, he says, first of all, fear not. When you look at this, he says, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So the message from the angels as they filled the sky, as they filled up that dark sky that night, as the shepherds was there, as they were there watching over their flock by night, the Bible says. Could you imagine in the day and the hour that all of this was going on? Could be a little bit like today in some regards, where that it seemed like that the world at that time was filled with chaos, and it seemed like the world in and of itself needed answers. Too often we have all the questions, but we have none of the answers. And I believe it's a lot like people today. People in this room, people watching online, wherever you may be, every day our lives are filled with a lot of questions. And we ask ourselves, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to get through that? And right now, and don't get mad at the preacher when I say this. Don't hang up on me. Amen. Pastor Dotson used to say, don't hang up on me now. This is long distance. He used to say that a lot. But here's the thing. We've struggled all year with this thing called COVID. Now we went through the election. Now everything's a conspiracy theory. All the trouble about the election. Now they're trying to give us hope that there's coming a vaccine and everybody's going to get back to normal. Everything's going to get well. And we're banking on that. We're putting confidence in that. And I'm not here to debate that. That's not what I'm here to do. But I'm here to simply tell you and I and everybody listening online that our confidence don't rest in the means of man. No matter what man does, man is still fallible. Man can still fail. Man is filled with all kinds of challenges today. But if you and I will turn our attention one more time to the one that I read about in the book of Philippians chapter number 2, if we will turn our attention back on Jesus, that's what's wrong in many places, in many churches, and in the arena of the public today, that you can talk about politics, you can talk about COVID, you can talk about this, you can talk about that, but people don't want to talk about Jesus. I don't know if you've sensed that or not, but I feel this in my spirit. I feel this in my own heart that people don't want to talk about Jesus anymore. And notice I said religion. They'll talk to you about religion. They'll talk to you about social drinking. They'll talk to you about adultery. They'll talk to you about fornication. They'll talk to you about legalizing marijuana and smoking dope and drinking beer and all that kind of stuff. But you mention the name that's above every name. The Bible says you mention the name of Jesus, and I promise you that the conversation will be changed. I just came by long enough to tell you tonight that I believe the church, my friend, I'm not saying the church has failed. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I have failed. I'm not saying you have failed. But I will say this, that I believe this with everything within me. If the people of God is going to be filled with the joy, it's got to be the joy that comes from the Lord and not any secular avenue that you and I may have the scene. Why don't you give the Lord a praise in the house tonight? Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Our confidence don't rest in man. Our confidence must remain in God. When these angels was there in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, and when this message was delivered, the angel said unto them, "Fear not. Fear not." Somebody say, "Fear not. Fear not." Look to your neighbor and say, "It's going to be okay. God's got it under control. Fear not. God's got it." And then you see this. It says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings." Good tidings. Good news. Well, that takes my mind to another place. My mind goes to the fact that Paul said in Romans chapter number 1, Paul's great anthem when he was there, and they were trying to decide who they were going to stand under, the banner, what flag, if you will. And Paul just simply said in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, and this is what Paul opens up with, and this is what I want to say this evening. For Paul said this plainly. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's a power, let me turn, it's a power of God unto salvation. He said, "To the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now look at this. Paul based everything he did simply upon the fact that he put all his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you and I this evening, again, I'm trying to reel us in. I'm trying to get us to understand that our joy, it's time for joy. Our joy this evening has got to come through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He said, "For it is the power of God unto salvation." And then he said, "To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, to the Greek." And then he says in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written that the just shall live by faith." When they made this announcement on that hillside in verse number 10, it gave them great joy. What is it in your life this evening? What is it in my life this evening? And I thought about this. What are we missing? What are we missing? You say, "Well, preacher, we can't come to church. We've not been to church. We've missed a lot of church." Let me just say this plainly, that I love coming to church. I love coming to church. I love the fellowship. I love being together with you. I love rubbing elbows with you. I love talking with you. But please don't get what I'm going to say wrong. We've got to have a lifeline that sustains us more and further and even greater than when you and I cannot even meet together under the roof. And it's got to come from the joy of the Lord. Again, the writer said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Paul said that God, again, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." So when I read that, it makes me think about this, that it is the power of God and it is the Word of God that gives you and I joy this evening. Do you have joy? Joy is, look at this again, where he says this again in verse number 11 of this text. And he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, I'm not going to turn back and read it yet, but I'll read it a little bit later before we go. When I read our text this evening, it is a description of what Paul said about Jesus Christ. Born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So again, the only place that you and I can have life-changing, sustaining joy, it's got to be from God. Amen? It's got to be through Jesus Christ Himself. Are you saved and you know it? Say amen. And that's the joy of the Lord speaking. Now look at this. He says, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Scripture that I'm presenting before you this evening is scripture that you know. But this, again, comes as a reminder. Every time you turn on that television, every time you don't turn on that television, and every time that you're hearing the news and it seems like there's more bad news than there is good news. Are you with me? Seems like there's more bad news than there is good news. I'm talking to the Christian this evening. I'm talking to the person that's experienced the joy of the Lord. Somebody that knows Jesus in your heart. You say, preacher, you ever have a bad day? Don't ask Sherry. Just don't ask her. There's days that we all have what we would say a bad day as it pertains to the elements of the flesh. But here's the thing. Those are the things that can bring you happiness, but don't let them destroy your joy. Don't let the circumstances of life destroy your joy. Now I'm going to hit on something that I did not study and didn't prepare for or anything of that nature. But here's the thing. When we think about where he says, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, there's two words up there that really hits home with us. First of all, he talks about Savior. He talks about Savior. When you think about the name of Jesus, I want to talk about that for a minute. When you look in the book of Matthew, again, you know this scripture. You know this. It's nothing new that you've not taught and preached and taught and sung and we've talked about for years. But here's the thing. We need a reminder. We need to be reminded that if you and I are going to have life sustaining, continual joy, it's got to be in Jesus. Are you with me? It's got to be in Jesus. No matter how much the world don't want his name mentioned, no matter how much they want to silence the name of Jesus, no matter how much people don't want to talk about the name of Jesus, no matter how much in the political arena they want to pluralize religion, if you will, and they want to make Jesus one of many. Oh no, my friend, Jesus is not one of many. Again, when you think about the name of Jesus, Jesus himself mentioned this. I'm not going to turn there, but you can turn there and read it in John 14 and 6, where he says this. He says that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That no man cometh to the Father but by me. It's not pluralism. It's not any other ism that you may want to mention this evening. But it's only one way. You need joy tonight. If you're listening online, if you need joy tonight, the only place you can find that joy is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody might say, well, preacher, that religious stuff has worked for you, but I've tried religion and it's never worked for me. That's your problem. You've tried religion. You've not came into a relationship with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And again, I don't know how many people's online this evening. I have no clue. But I feel like I'm talking to somebody this evening. You may not be sitting in this room, but I feel like I'm talking to somebody tonight. And you're searching and you're looking and you're asking and you're saying, I wish I had what that preacher had. I wish what I had, what my mother had or my granny had or my family member had. Can I tell you this evening, you can have exactly what this Bible says you can have, and that is the joy of the Lord. But I submit unto you this evening that the only way that you'll have that is through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. No other way. No other way. No other way. People's doubted Him. People's doubted this Word. And they've come up empty every time. And I'm going to tell you something. This is what I was going to tell you a few minutes ago. As far as I know, and the biggest thing is I know when it happened. Are you with me? As far as I know, as long as I've served God and tried to live for the Lord, as far as I know, I've never doubted my salvation. As far as I know. And somebody says, well, I doubt my salvation all the time. Somebody says, sometimes I feel saved and sometimes I don't feel saved. Well, here's the thing, friend. You're going by feelings and not by faith. Now, again, I could talk about a whole lot of stuff tonight that I'm not going to take the time to talk about. But I want to tell you this real simple. If you build your life on your feelings, you're going to come up empty every time. And if you build your spiritual relationship just on what you feel, there's probably going to be some days that you might not even feel saved. Amen? But if you know without shadow of a doubt where your joy comes from. Now, I can only talk about me. I can only tell you that I know where I got saved. I did not know the importance of writing dates back in the day. I didn't feel the importance of that. It didn't even dawn on me. But I know in the year, early part of 1982 at the Clyde Church of God, about this point at the altar, without a shadow of a doubt, Brother Sparks, I know that's where I confessed my sins and Jesus washed all my sins away. Has everything been easy in your life from that point? Absolutely not. But here's the thing. The joy that came into my heart that day, be mindful of this, that the thing that the Holy Spirit does is He operates through what He brings into your life. And again, a lot of stuff I can talk about, but the Bible does say if you don't have the Spirit, you're none His. In other words, you get the Holy Spirit, we use the word by measure, when you get saved. If the Holy Spirit's not working, if He's not there, you can't even get saved. But there's a difference between that and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the endowment of power for service. And here's the thing, when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, when He comes into our lives, He brings His fruit with Him. He brings a manifestation of Him being in your life. And here's the thing, if you look at those nine fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and again, I'm not going to turn there this evening. The first two are the things, if they're actually mentioned in a chronological order, I don't think it's so, most important to least important. I think they're all important. You would see the first one is love. And then the second one is what? It's joy. So when the Holy Spirit changes our life, when He comes into our life, we then become a person filled with the joy of the Lord. And no matter what we go through, no matter the trials of our life, that the joy of the Lord is there. Born this day in the city of David, the Bible says, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, when you look at this in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, we see this again in verse number 18. Again, you can read this in length. You can read it throughout the Christmas season. But I wanted to read this for a purpose to really get to where I want to go at the end of this. He says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother, Mary, espoused to Joseph, before they came together, was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And I could talk about a lot of this other stuff, but I'm not going to for the sake of time. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord again appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, here's that word again, fear not. Fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Again, that particular topic about her conceiving of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, is right there in front of us this evening. And that's not really the topic of the hour, but we don't want to overlook that. Because he moves forward and he says in verse number 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Somebody say the name Jesus. When you look in the Old Testament, the name Joshua was a popular name. And if you think about the name of Jesus, we say it Jesus English. A friend of mine, he used to do public work, and he was backslid. Sherry knows who it is. And he done public work, and one day, this is a true story. This is a true story. He was backslid, and somebody rang his phone, and so when he answered the phone, on the screen of the phone, it had the name Jesus. And it startled him when he seen that. He thought Jesus was calling him. And it made him think about his relationship with the Lord, because he was backslid. And when he answered the phone, it was a Spanish guy. Jesus. So that's a true story. That's a true story. So when you think about that, the name of Jesus is pronounced and said in a lot of different ways. Very popular name even in Bible days. But yet when they gave him this name Jesus, gave Jesus the name Jesus, what did that name mean? The name of Jesus is actually a name that means, watch this, salvation. It means that Jehovah is salvation. So this evening when we think about our joy and the joy of the Lord becoming our strength, we think about that Jehovah is our salvation, that we know when they pronounced that on the Judean hillside, where that the joy of the Lord and the angels announced this, that glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that they announced that they would bring joy to all mankind. How do you and I get that joy? From reading the New York Times, the Washington Post, what is it, the Chicago Tribune? No, none of those. Are you with me tonight? We only get joy through Jesus. Amen? It's the quietest Pentecostal church I've ever been in all of my life. We get the joy from being with Jesus. And if you're having a problem with your joy, go spend time with Jesus. Are you with me tonight? If you say amen, it might scare me to death. Say amen. That's where we get our joy. It's not from out here. It's not from any other source. We get joy from Jesus. Say that with me. Joy from Jesus. We get it from Him. And we look at this. We look at Jesus in the Scripture. And He talks about Jesus, which His name means Jehovah is salvation. And then His name Jesus is a word that again, is it talks about that He is our Savior. Again, when you look at that, His name was given to Him by His Father. And His name had a meaning to it. It had a meaning attached to it. So when you and I hear people use the slang that we hear in our society today, and they use the name of Jesus Christ as slain, and they use that name, and they don't even think about what they're saying anymore. And by the way, I don't want to offend nobody, but God's last name don't start with a D, by the way. Amen? That it needs to be a sacred name. It needs to be a holy name. So we look at this, and he talks about again that when you think about the Word of God, he says this, that he shall bring his name, that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Savior. Now the purpose of Jesus coming is found in the latter part of verse 21. For he shall save his people from their sins. Again, designated towards the Jew. Designated towards the Jew, that the Jew, but thank God this evening that you and I have been given the same opportunity as the Jew, that you and I have been given, as Paul said, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, that we've been given the opportunity to be grafted in to this wonderful family called the family of God. We ought to celebrate that. We ought to celebrate that this evening. Again, when you look at the scripture text in verse number 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying. Again, when you look at that back in the book of Isaiah and a few other places as well in the scripture. Verse 23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is simply this. It has been interpreted that God is with us. So we have a Savior that brings us joy. We have a Savior that God says his name is Emmanuel. And then again, when you think about this, Jesus himself knew at an early age. At an early age, I'm not going to take the time to turn there. But he knew at an early age that he had to be about his own father's business. Of course, if you went to the scripture and read that, it's over in the book of Luke chapter 2 and 49. We're not going to take the time to turn there. Because Mary and Joseph again had been on a journey. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes up missing. I could say that Jesus is probably missing in a lot of people's life tonight. And they need to go back and be like the wise men, because they begin to seek him out. They begin to look for him. I read this yesterday or Sunday and when I was studying for this. And one of the things I think about is as the scripture uses this, when the wise men came, they used this word and they said, where is he? I thought about a lot of people today are missing the joy of the Lord because they don't know where Jesus is in their life. And I know you have family members. I have family members that I wish, and Sherry's with me on this, I just wish that somehow that they would find Jesus. I wish that somehow, have you ever just seen somebody that's miserable? And here's how I look at it sometimes. Their misery is miserable. I mean, they're so miserable, their misery's miserable. And I know, and you know, and we know, that all it would take is them to gloriously fall in love with Jesus and their life would begin to change. You know that. I know that. And the only place that real peace ever comes from is through him, through the Lord. So let me move on really quick. I'm not going to be much longer. When you think about salvation, and there's a bunch of scripture that I could turn to, but the whole purpose of Jesus coming, when Jesus said that I must be about my Father's business, when you think about that, Jesus knew this one thing he had to do. Christ is anointed one. Jesus means Savior. Jesus knew, with his name being Jesus and his name being Emmanuel, that he had to be about his Father's business. Let me say this. The same joy that the angels was talking about when they announced on that hillside in Luke 10 and 2, 10 and 11 that he would bring joy to all people is the same joy that he'll bring to you and to me and to anybody else, as the Bible says, that will call upon his name. It's still the same joy. It's still that same joy today. Again, throughout the scripture, salvation is salvation. Again, it uses this in the term. It uses this in the term, again, as to be rescued from perishing. I mentioned that Sunday morning a little bit. To be rescued from perishing. I'm not going to take the time to turn back there in the book of Ephesians, but the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that you and I were dead in our trespasses and in our sins, we had no hope. We had no joy. We had no strength. But yet the Bible says in the book of Romans that in due time, Christ died for us. He gave his life for us. The Bible says he redeemed us, that we've not been redeemed with such things as silver and gold and things of that nature, the Bible says. But we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. That word redeem means to purchase. It means to buy back. I heard it said like this one time. Some of you ladies in this room and others, I remember my mom doing this. Anybody remember green stamps? I'm going to date myself. Anybody at all? Oh, yeah, a lot of people do. I remember in Asheville from our house, it's probably a 30-minute ride, Mama had these books of green stamps that she'd saved for months and months and months and months at an old grocery store called Ray's Grocery Store. She's listening tonight. She's laughing. She said, how do you remember that when you can't remember last week? I don't know. She had saved these S&H green stamps, books and books and books of them things. I remember as a kid riding over there to this green stamp store. She'd take them in there and she'd go in and redeem them for kitchen goods or a mixer or whatever she needed for the kitchen, whatever it may have been. I remember she got a mixer. That's all I remember that time. You know, she got a... You know, when you go from a tater masher to a mixer, you're getting up in the world. And that was a good thing because that mixer brought her joy. I'm sure it did. But I said all that to say this, that you and I should be the most joyous people in all the earth. Thessalonians reminds us, and he says this in the Word, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. This kind of goes back to Sunday morning a little bit in the book of Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to turn there. But he uses this term where he tells us not to be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't let these things overtake you. Why? Because you've got the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Jesus came to bring you. Jesus came to bring me this great joy. This great joy of salvation. Now, I could go on and I could talk about a whole lot of stuff here this evening. The whole plan of salvation. I believe folks in this room is saved. But yet we think about this in the context of the Scripture. Paul reminds us, and again, I'm not going to take the time to turn there and read to it. I'm just going to tell you what it says. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, I believe it is, he says this. And this is it in a paraphrase. He said that the preaching of the cross is foolish to them that perish. But to you and I who believe, that you and I, we know that it is life. You and I know this evening that what Jesus came to do brought you and I life. Now, go back to our text. When you go back to this main text that I read to you this evening, again, you can go in there and you can read the whole thing and take the time. We think about Jesus this evening. We think about the fact that Jesus came to redeem you and I. He came to give us joy. He came to remove the fear out of our life. Again, when you think about Christ, he says this in verse number 6, who been in the form of God, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You see that in John chapter number 1. Again, John 1 and 14 says that the flesh became, that God became flesh. He says that Jesus became this flesh man. He was incarnated in Mary's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. But yet we look at this, and Jesus again, you know, when you think about Jesus, about his life with the disciples and his life with the Pharisee and his life with the Sadducee and his life with all the people that was there, they thought he was crazy. They really thought he was crazy because he announced himself as the Son of God. He announced himself to be equal with God. And the people there thought he was a little bit off of his rocker. But you and I today, friend, it's almost no different. Again, going back to my earlier thought, you can even use the name of God in public. And people are basically fine with the name of God, whether it be a capital G or a little g, either one, they because of the simple fact that they put everybody in the same category when you use the word God. You know? I heard one preacher say one time that when you pray, you need to pray to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You need to pray to the God of the beginning, in the beginning God, you know, and I'll get it out later. But here's the thing. You mention the name of Jesus again, and people get upset with you. But they don't know the joy. Wrapping this up, he says this at the end. He says this at the end of this, but made of himself of no reputation. What does that mean? He didn't go out and gloat and say, look at me and look who I am and boast and brag and pump his chest out and say, look at me, what I'm doing. No. The Bible says that if you look at this, he took on the form of a servant. That's in Isaiah chapter 53. You can read that in your own time. And was made in the likeness of men, and being made that being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And again, a lot of stuff I could have put in here, but it's because of the cross. It's because of the sacrifice of the cross. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's because Jesus died for you and Jesus died for me on the cross. And as a result of that, as a result of him saying, I must be about my Father's business, as a result of him praying in the garden and saying, not my will, but thy will be done, God exalted him, highly exalted him, and given him a name above every name. Verse number 10 says that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, Savior, the Bible reminds us in the book of Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews chapter 9 or somewhere, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says this, and I'm going to wrap it up. It says in the scripture, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How's this world going to escape the judgment of God? They're not. They're not. The only way to escape the judgment of God is by calling upon the name of Jesus. That's the only way. You know this, and I know this. Where the Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is as the ways of what? Death. And here's another thing. It's just my conversation. There's not a multiple way to God. I mentioned that in the beginning. It's only one way. It's only one way this evening. And Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. Amen? And then he says that God also hath highly exalted him. It's an exalted name. It's not the average person's name. It's a high name. It's an exalted name. And given him a name which is above every name. I remember Ray H. Hughes preaching this message right here. I don't remember the title of the message. The glory of his name, it come to me. I remember Ray H. Hughes preaching this message. Raymond Isom probably got that somewhere. The glory of his name, his precious name. You need joy tonight? Call on the name of Jesus. You need joy tonight? I need joy tonight? Renew your relationship with Jesus. And here's the thing, and I'm going to keep driving this point home. I'm going to drive it home and drive it home and drive it home. Is people can dispute the name of Jesus, they can curse the name of Jesus, they can reject the name of Jesus. And we see that in our society today. Again, people don't want to hear the name of Jesus. But Paul says this again in 1 Corinthians. I mentioned it to you a while ago. But to preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolish. But unto us that are saved, it is our hope. It is our joy. It is our strength. Friend, it's the only thing that you and I can cling to this evening. Because everything else around us is going to perish. But the name of Jesus will never perish. God hath highly exalted him. God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Every name. The name of Jesus. I like my name. I'm sure you like your name. Some people hate their names. And they blame their mom or their dad their whole life for naming them what they named them. But they named Jesus right. Because the Bible says that he came to save his people from their sins. That Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's great joy, the Bible says, and I'm going to wrap this up. There's great joy in heaven. You know, you read the scripture. I know I've said that 16 times. I'm going to wrap it up. I know. I see you grinning. I need to preach 20 minutes and have Jody ring a bell upstairs and put red lights. Don't you ever do that. Aren't you glad you get scripture when you come? I mean, you know, if you want some little watered down something, I mean, you know, I can do that too. But I try to give you enough to live on for the week. But here's what the scripture says. Y'all are grinning at me. I'm finally getting something out of you. Maybe I need to go another hour. But there's Bobby, what does it say? I may not be able to quote it exactly as it is. But the Bible says that there's joy in heaven over one sinner. In other words, when I studied this over the weekend, because I was going to preach this Sunday morning, when I thought about it over the weekend, I thought about there's joy in heaven over one sinner that gets saved. Watch this. Simply because I believe that heaven knows, Dixie, what it cost Jesus to die, when Jesus died for our sins, and what it cost Jesus for that one sinner to be saved, signifying that Jesus' life and him dying on the cross was not in vain. And because when they see that happening in heaven, it's that they glorify the name of Jesus when the sinners come to the knowledge of the cross. Now, I'm not going to say it anymore tonight. I'm going to close. No, I ain't going to say it no more tonight. I ain't going to say it. I thought about this song over the weekend when I wrote all this out. It's in the hymn book. I mentioned it earlier. But I thought about this song, I'm Redeemed. I'm Redeemed. I'm Redeemed. That ought to give us joy. The chorus of that song says, I'm redeemed by love divine. It's not that I love him. Herein is love, that he loved us and gave his life a ransom for you and for me. I don't ever want to get so prideful to think that God owed me anything. God owed me nothing. The joy that we have, this world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Somebody ought to write a song about that. The world can't give you what only God can give you. But the song says, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Stand with me. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you again, God, for this time that you've given us. We thank you for this great salvation. We thank you for redemption. And because of the fact that our names have been written down, as Jesus told those disciples, not to rejoice because the devils are subject unto them, but rejoice because their names have been written down in the Lamb's book of life. Father, we celebrate this evening because of the simple fact that Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He died for us. He gave his life a ransom for us. And Father, we are so thankful. And Lord, we just come this evening, God, to glorify your name. We celebrate the name of Jesus in this place tonight. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, and we thank you. And Lord, we just lift up hands to you tonight. Lord, we don't want to be guilty of taking it for granted. We don't want to be guilty this evening, God, for just taking for granted our salvation. But we thank you for that salvation. And we give you praise for that salvation. And it's in your precious name we pray and we ask. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.